Are you a black conservative that's scared to come out of the closet? Are you a white Republican that's tired of being called a racist because you love America and hate high taxes?
Are you a legal immigrant that wishes you would have saved your money by crossing the border illegally like the Democrats?
And the only man-made global warming that occurs is when liberals open their pie holes.
Do you know there are only two genders, male and female, and not 52?
Then you've tuned into the right place. It's the Carl Jackson Show. AM 950 and FM 94.9. The Answer. The Answer.
Okay, welcome to the Carl Jackson Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen, as we come to you live from Heathrow with the Suburban Republican Women's Club Political Hobnob. You still got the American Adversaries here with Michael McBath, myself, Christopher Hart at the table, Kathy Santomassino, Joe Ferrero on the Battle Bridge, Jeff Sinis on the main bridge. Here's how it's going to work. For the first half hour of the Carl Jackson Show, we'll continue from the Hobnob. And then at 7:30, the guys who are back in the studio right now are going to pick it up and take you till 8. And I'm talking about Mr. Aubrey Kahn and Mr. Nostradennis. Are you fellas there?
I am here, Mr. Hart. How are you, sir?
Excellent. Where be Aubrey?
I'm opposite him, as always.
All right. That deep-sounding comfort voice of Aubrey Kahn's. All right. Well, you guys, what great quality candidates we have. Wish you guys could be here tonight, too.
Man, I'm kind of jealous you guys get to hobnob with all these folks over in Heathrow. It sounds like a great event.
Yeah, but someone's got to hold down the fort.
Yep.
And you guys do a great job at that. Well, I'm going to get right back to the candidates, though. And great candidates, one and all. Now, this fellow, you might have seen him on TV. He's got some great ads running on TV. He is running for U.S. House District 7 as well. Welcome to the show, Corey Mills.
Thank you so much for having me. I don't have a voice for radio, but I got a face for radio, if that makes any difference.
I don't know. You got a face for TV, brother. And great ads, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Well, why did you decide to run for Congress? Because I know you had worked in the Trump administration as an appointee. Why run for an elective office?
So, you know what? I ask myself this every morning when I wake up. The bottom line is that for the longest time, I have been a lifelong registered Republican. And I believe in continuing our conservative values, making sure that we go forward and pledge to support our Constitution, an oath that I took in uniform that doesn't expire just because you take that uniform off. And what I saw was I saw a Republican Party who was becoming weaker and weaker and not willing to fight for our conservative values. I saw where God was being threatened to be removed from our everyday communities, our everyday lives, our schools, our everything. And I just saw looking at it and saying, you know, I brought one too many flag-draped coffin home for men and women who are willing to fight for this nation. And I was obviously spared for a reason. I was blown up twice in 2006. I spent 7 years in Iraq. I spent 3 years in Afghanistan. And I'm a Bronze Star recipient. And I looked at it and just thought to myself, you know, this is God's divine intervention. He is truly calling me to do this. And the reason I say that isn't to try and, you know, virtue signal in any way. But look at the things that's occurred. Endless wars have continued to plague America. We continue to think this is benefiting our Constitution, and in fact, it's actually making us weaker without investing and putting that money back into America for our domestic production, our energy independence, to stop adversarial nations. I know something about that.
Well, that begs a couple of questions. First of all,
yes,
should you get elected to Congress, would you seek a position on, say, the Foreign Relations Committee, that sort of thing? Also, what do you think about the way this administration is handling what's going on in the Ukraine?
So I'll tell you, to answer the first thing, a lot of people want to ask me, because I was a military, you know, I served in the 82nd, the Joint Special Operations Command, will you serve in the Armed Services Committee or will you serve in the Foreign Affairs Committee? And the answer is that I think right now when you look at District 7, we don't have a military base here. But what we do need to look at is real committees that aren't the popular Fox News committees. What we want to look at is things like workforce, education, and labor. These are things that impact every single person. I'm a father of two. So I think that what Virginia Fox does, who is the most underrated congressional member for our workforce, education, and labor, is fantastic. We know that the Democrats have been utilizing the indoctrination process from our children. We know they've been stripping away civics and other values to try and go ahead and breed the next generation of Marxism and communism. I like the ideas of, yes, I will sit on the Foreign Affairs Committee. My background is definitely in Middle East. I've published over 38 articles that you can still find today on geopolitics. I even published one about 7 weeks ago in Newsmax talking about the great superpower resurgence. So, yes, I will certainly look at these types of items. But I think education, workforce, and labor is something that everyone can relate to today in District 7. We need to get our fuel costs under control. We need to return God to our educational systems and understand that saying the Pledge of Allegiance is actually something that's important in the nation. We need to get back to American exceptionalism, and we need to get back to an America First agenda. And those are things that I'm willing to support.
How can people help you out? How can people help you out? What's your website?
So to help me out, you guys can go to millsforflorida.com. You can also find me on Twitter at CoreyMillsFL. Again, we were a Trump appointee. We're the most endorsed candidate in the nation, and we're the only one who qualified by petition. We didn't buy our way into this race. We got the necessary signatures to ensure that we're qualified by the people and for the people.
Give us some of your endorsements.
So some of our endorsements are people like Congressman Jim Jordan, Congressman Jim Banks, Congressman Ronnie Jackson, Congressman Greg Stubbe. We have ACU and CPAC who has endorsed us. We have the Veterans of America First who has endorsed us. And not to mention the fact that we are the only candidate in this race who is a former Trump appointee and understands the America First agenda, because we actually were delivering that for the American people.
And how do you think Biden is handling Ukraine?
Well, I already know the whole score on Ukraine. This is another thing when I talk about divine intervention. So I actually trained in 2015 the very first sniper battalion who was fighting against the Russians. It was called the Nepeta Battalion. And this is after they took over Donetsk, Lugansk, and they had annexed Crimea. The problem is that we had an opportunity back in 2014 to utilize the 1994 Budapest Memorandum. That memorandum was signed by the United States, the Federation of Russia, Ukraine, the United Kingdom, and Ireland. They could have at that point, because remember, that was a nuclear nonproliferation agreement that said that we recognize your sovereignty, we recognize your independence, we recognize your country lines, and we will not violate those if you get rid of your nuclear weapons. Well, they did that. That should have been immediately raised in 2014, but here's the thing to remember. Both times that Russia has invaded Ukraine, Joe Biden has been in office. And I'll tell you one more thing. My team and I were in Afghanistan. We conducted the very first successful rescue of Americans out of Afghanistan when Joe Biden left thousands behind. And it was Joe Biden who tried to prevent us both times. It was Congressman Ronnie Jackson who called me and said, I have a mother and three children. An 11-year-old girl was already being promised to be married to a Taliban fighter, 11 years old. And the DOD and DOS said they could do nothing about it. It was our team that took 11 days to conduct the very first successful overland rescue to save Americans. And why? Because I believe in a statesman. I'm not going to be a politician who talks, but I will be a person who acts.
Obviously, should you get the nomination, you're going to be asked, what did you think about 2020? What would be your response?
Bottom line is that our election integrity is one of the most important issues. We are not a democracy, however, we are a constitutional republic, and I want to remind people of that. But we need a 50-state audit. We need to ensure that our elections are protected for every single individual. And let me tell you where one of those areas starts. Yes, at the audit. But the second thing is, I'm the only candidate who went down to Roma, Texas, went to our borders, and have actually put eyes on to see how porous it truly is. I'm the only one who understands that we have 11.4 million undocumented citizens in America, over 2 million who's crossed in the last year. And if Title 42 is not made permanent legislation, you're going to see an increase of 18,000 per day. Do you know what that means in the whole scheme of things? That means if you put all of those people together, they make up the fifth largest U.S. city right now.
Corey Mills running for U.S. House District 7. Once again, website, Corey?
MillsForFlorida.com.
That's easy to remember. Is that F-O-R or the number 4?
F-O-R.
MillsForFlorida.com. Corey Mills, congratulations on getting those
petitions.
Thank you
so much.
And good luck in the campaign.
God bless.
We'll be talking to you a lot more, I'm sure. All right, Corey, let's go ahead, Jeff. Let's go ahead and take the break at this point so we can get the other candidates over here. You are listening to the American Adversaries Radio Show. We'll be right back from Heathrow Country Club with the Suburban Republican Women's Club Hobnob. More candidates to come. Please stay with us.
Don't you want a little taste of the glory? See what it tastes like.
Now back to the Carl Jackson Show on The Answer.
My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know.
Okay, once again, welcome back to the Carl Jackson Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. On the road. How many times has Carl Jackson Show been on the road? All right, but it's on the road tonight, live from Heathrow, for the Suburban Republican Women's Club Political Hobnob. I want to get right back to the candidates. Once again, currently we're speaking with candidates for U.S. House District 7. So I'd like to welcome to the table now Al Santos. Al, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Thank you so much, Chris. Thank you for having me and everybody that has listened.
Okay, if you can turn the microphone a little bit more towards your mouth. So tell people, who is Al Santos?
Al Santos, born and raised in Puerto Rico, served 28 years in the United States Army, did retire as a lieutenant colonel, infantry, serve in different areas. He served in Afghanistan, he served in Colombia, five-time commander, and also 5 years as the Department of Defense contractor, training Afghan commandos, special forces, and also a member of the Special Operation Joint Task Force Afghanistan, led by General Linder, and one of the last one to exit Afghanistan. So I saw from there, on the ground, what happened when President Biden made a decision to retrograde from Afghanistan.
So why did you decide to run for Congress?
Back in 2014, I was assigned to the U.S. Central Command. I was the Central Asia Region Director. All those countries, you know, up north Afghanistan. And General Austin, now Secretary Austin, called me and said, Armando, I'm going to give you a task. I need you to shut down Air Base Manas. Manas was the gateway to entry troop, weapons, supplies, air refueling in support of the war in Afghanistan. He said, sir, if we shut down Manas, how are we going to support our war in Afghanistan? I think it's a bad decision. Russia is going to fill that space, and we're going to lose our influence throughout the region. That's very dangerous. And they did anyway under President Obama administration. They shut it down. Fast forward, Chris, what happened when we left that space to Russia? They occupied that space, and they are invading Ukraine. You know, they're using all those space that we lost influence in their advantage. And that's why I'm here. I cannot keep looking from far and see what's happening, because the future of this country is very dark.
What? How can people help you? Do you have a website?
Yeah, I got a website. Please go to www.alsantos.org, alsantos.org. I got more information about me, who is all my, you know, academic, you know, credential, my experience as a business owner. I understand how the economy works, not only at the national level, at the regional level, but also I do have the vision that I have learned in the Army about how the world operates and interacts, you know, in terms of the economy. And let me say this, Chris. We have to fix, and we have to start producing energy. We have to go back, not to energy independence. We have to go back to energy dominance. Who control the energy, control the economy, and control the world. And we got to go back to the place that this nation belongs, which is at the top. We're the leaders of the world.
Once again, we're speaking to Al Santos, running for U.S. House District 7. Once again, your website, Al Santos.
AlSantos.org.
AlSantos.org. What kind of response are you getting when you're out campaigning around from people?
But let me tell you, I began my campaign at on the first week of April, about 2 months ago, and the response has been fantastic. Let me tell you this, Chris. Even though we began campaigning on April, I put together exploratory committee back on September 2020, and we start, you know, eliminating risk in our campaign. You know, identify resources, personnel, grassroots movement, grassroots leaders, and leaders that can make the difference in the community. And I met with all of them. You know, with many of them, I should say, and. At the end of the day, everything, you know, put me in the right way to find my candidacy. So that's why I'm here. I got the experience. And let me tell you this to people that are listening to Chris and AM 950. And this is that when a loved one need a heart surgery, you look for the best doctor. When your kid need the best mentor, you look for the right teacher. You look always for the best. Americans love to win. Americans love the best ones. And let me tell you, based on my experience that I gained throughout 28 years of career, or more than 30 years, including my 5 years with the Department of Defense, I'm a businessman. I know, once again, how the economy works around the world, and I am that person, you know. I'm the best at what I'm doing. I'm a fighter, and I'm going to go to Congress to fight for hard-working Americans that are paying the price of this bad policies of Biden and Pelosi.
Okay, once again, Al Santos, running for U.S. House, District 7, alsantos.org. Al, congratulations on getting in the race, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much, Chris, and everybody here. I appreciate that for having me, and God bless everybody.
Okay, once again, thanks again for being with us tonight. All right. Okay, so the things are beginning to wind down now, but we have another candidate we're going to bring to the table. He's been on the American Adversaries show before. He'll be back again, too, I'm sure. And, of course, I'm talking about member of the Florida House, Anthony Sabatini. Anthony.
Wow, I've never been on this show before this
week. How you doing?
Never been better. Great to be back on the program, guys. Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for being here. This is a big night here in Lake Mary.
Well, you know, you're running for District 7, and it's a full primary. How are things going for you?
Well, yeah, the good news is we have a double-digit lead in the primary. It's not a very competitive race. You know why? As you guys know and your audience knows, we've been on the ground since March 2021. We didn't wait till the conditions were better. We didn't wait till Stephanie Murphy dropped out. We got in day one. So the grassroots is with us. That's why we have the most national endorsements like Rand Paul, the most local endorsements like Lake Mary City Commissioner Justin York. We got the most doors now. We got the most money. I mean, we're crushing here. Why? Because we're persistent. We work every single day on this election, looking voters in the eye, letting them know that what I've done in the state house with Governor DeSantis pushing these conservative reforms through is what's put us in this position of being the national envy. Florida's the national envy. We're going to take that to Washington next.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you're the only one in the race who actually has legislative experience.
Correct. I'm the only person that's ever run election, won, and actually had conservative accomplishments in the field.
You know, I it's kind of redundant to ask you if you're an American First candidate. I mean, because you have won awards for being the most conservative candidate in the Florida House ever, I think, isn't it? Isn't that your record?
I'm by far the single most conventionally conservative candidate, fiscally or socially, but I'm also regarded as the most pro-Trump, pro-DeSantis, pro-America First Republican in the country. Me and Joe Kent, Washington State, have been the guys leading the national charge on what a new Republican Party needs to look like, the new right, the new Republican Party, fighting the woke corporations, building the wall, doing national deportation, protecting middle-class families, protecting freedom of religion, restoring small business, onshoring our jobs, draining the swamp, firing every single corrupt government employee, and imprisoning people like Tony Fauci. That's what we've been talking about. That's what the vision of the Republican Party needs to be, an offense-minded organization, and we've been channeling that. So not only have I been in office and actually have the proven record, we have the vision that these other guys don't share. You see a lot of slogans on the campaign trail, a lot of hollow, empty promises, and then you have people who have a fierce determination to deliver real conservative results, and that's me.
If no one gets 50% plus one in this primary, is there a runoff?
No, we got rid of runoffs in Florida in 2001.
So whoever gets the most votes goes on to the general election.
And that'll be me.
Okay, and how can people help out your campaign?
They can call me on my cell phone, 352-455-2928, and let me know what they want to do in this race, who they're looking to vote for, and if they want to be involved. We have the biggest team on the ground. We have over 200 volunteers. We've raised $1 million, not a penny from a lobbyist, 100% from grassroots patriots from coast to coast. So call me, get on my website, sabatiniforcongress.com. Follow me on my social media profile, at Anthony Sabatini, on Truth, Gab, Getter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and every other program. And check me out, because we're ready to take this country back, get rid of the rhinos, make Nancy Pelosi cry, and make America great again.
What does your polling show you about the say, a generic thing, Republican versus Democrat for the general election?
Plus 14 in the general, plus 12 in the primary.
Oh, all right. Excellent. Excellent. And so, by the way, if you live in the district, don't be surprised if you hear a knock at the door. You open the door, and it's going to be Anthony, right? Because you're
That's
out there.
That's right. We knocked many, many doors. In fact, a lot of times I knock on a door, and they'll say, hey, I heard you on American Adversaries. We love that show. And
right.
I was like, really? You guys listen to Chris? You must be a right-wing crazy.
That's for sure. One more time. How can people help you out, Anthony?
At Anthony Sabatini on any social media profile. I am there. They can call me on my cell. 352-455-2928, and of course my email, anthony@sabatiniforcongress.com.
All right, that's campaign stuff. Let's talk Florida government stuff. I saw
sure.
Where you wanted another special session. Did I not?
A special session, because every single day the woke left is coming up with new crazy attacks, and the newest attack is they are trying to bring adolescent children, small children, into adult sexually themed drag shows. We're not talking about,
as we saw in Texas.
Yeah, we saw it in Dallas. I'm not even going to repeat what we saw there was pretty creepy stuff. They're bringing 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids in there. The kids are dancing and all this stuff. It's nasty. It's wrong. Adults, I don't call them parents, adults who bring children into those shows are not being good parents. As one person wrote on Twitter, if your child is in a drag show and not on a playground at that age, you belong in prison. So I made a,
That's child abuse.
It's child abuse. We need a special session to outlaw this and change our administrative guidelines for Department of Children and Families to make sure this is illegal. And guess what? The next day they asked the big man, Ron DeSantis, about it, and he said, absolutely, we're looking at it right now. That's child endangerment, and we're going to get rid of that here in the free state of Florida. So he's reviewing it now, and we look forward to legislative action forthcoming.
Yeah, by the way, when Sabatini asks for a special session, he usually gets it. I mean,
we got it on vaccine mandates. You got it on a bunch of insurance. We got it. We're probably going to get it again. You know, my goal is to try to lay the ground, set the narrative, push for the conservative policies, give the governor backup when he's ready to jump into a policy arena. And that's what we need to do. We need people who are going to fight like hell and not sit back and wait until the coast is clear and then vote the right way. We need people who are going to lead on conservative reform.
All right, Sabatini for Congress. Anthony, congratulations on running a fine race, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Chris. God bless you guys.
All right, we'll be talking to you again real soon as well. Okay, that's about going to wrap it up for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, for the candidates. We had three who were able to speak to the audience but had other obligations tonight, and so that would have been Amy Lockhart, Brittany Walker, and Jay Zimbauer, who are running for the Seminole County Commission. But the other candidates, you all got to hear them. I hope that you were taking notes if you wanted to help out any particular candidate of their website, and we'll be doing more things like this, as I said, but these are great opportunities, as you hopefully heard, to be able to get up close and personal with the candidates. So let me go back to the guys in the studio for the last minute or so here. Nostradamus, Aubrey, what'd you think about what you heard?
I think we got a lot of good candidates out there, and I'm really glad, Chris, that you were taking the tack of not endorsing any particular candidate for these races, because there are just so many good ones.
It's a strong field out there.
Very absolutely strong. And these candidates, you can see the fire in their eyes. They mean to not only win the election but make a difference. Guys, we got quality candidates out there, and it's making me feel pretty good about the fall.
I'm a little bummed you didn't get Brittany Walker on. You know, we know her as the blonde patriot from the Matt Buff show. It's real cool. She is running.
She was looking forward to it, but the schedule, with the way they had the speakers speak, it just didn't work out because she had two events planned for one night. But we'll have her in the future, and this is going to be a great election season, and we're going to have some really, really strong candidates for the fall election. So I'm going to turn it over to you guys for the rest of the night. Thanks for holding the fort down.
Oh, thank you, guys.
All right, and here you go. The Carl Jackson Show now in Nostradamus and Aubrey Kahn's hands. Thanks for tuning in. Keep praying. Keep loving. And for me, for Mike, for Kathy, for Joe, night, everybody.
We got time left before the break, Jeff, or are we right at zeros?
All right, so...
The answer.
Are you ready to get your conservative cardio on? The Carl Jackson Show.
On The Answer.
The Answer.
The Answer.
Oh, so glad the cameras aren't on right now. The conservative cardio is being worked on, and you should see Aubrey Kahn in spandex.
Ooh, and the sweat is pouring off.
I am Nostradamus. We are both in for Carl Jackson, and he will be back. He's going to be back on Monday, right?
Yep.
He's normally back on Mondays. Thank you to Christopher Hart and the gang of the American Adversaries for kind of bleeding into the first half hour of Carl's show from the American Adversaries' two-hour daily extravaganza. They're over at the Suburban Republican Women's Club Political Hobnob up in Heathrow in Lake Mary, talking to a lot of the people who are going to be on the primary ballots here in Central Florida coming up in just a couple of weeks. we got a couple of things. We got every day we get a thing called the Daybreak Topics and Ideas, and it's stories that might be worth considering. If you listen to the Salem Network throughout the day, you may hear stories like this. Of course, we do our own stuff as well, but we'll be referring back to that from time to time tonight. Very cool contest this week on the American Adversaries. I don't know if you heard this one, Aubrey. Normally, what Mike McBath will say is, here's a celebrity, you tell us a song that reminds you of them. Well, they're making this one kind of like a wild card. You pick your own celebrity, you pick the song that reminds you of them.
Yep.
And the winner is going to get a nice little prize package from, from the
beautiful package
from the adversaries. Now, that's their show. This is our show.
Did you have a sample that you wanted to share?
No, you know, I hadn't even thought of that. Maybe by the end of the show, I'll have one. But but you know, that's their story. That's not our story.
Well, I had a good one for Joe Biden.
Oh, okay. Do tell.
It's a Monty Python song.
Okay.
How sweet to be an idiot.
Okay, I never heard that one. Believe it or not, but it sounds like that could work. Okay, let's go through a couple of these stories. Did you know that the January 6th committee postponed their hearings today?
Oh, why, the ratings weren't high enough?
There's another story about the ratings that I want to get to in a couple of minutes, but apparently the House Select Committee decided they're going to take a day off and come back on Thursday. Zoe Lofgren, Democrat, California, told Fox News the delay was due to technical issues and not an issue with witnesses. Today was the day they were going to be talking about Mr. Trump's attempt to use the Justice Department in his bid to reject the results of the 2020 election.
Yeah, that would interfere with their attempt to use the Justice Department to incriminate him. And, bless their darling hearts.
You can only use the Justice Department in one way or the other. You can't twist it in both directions.
If you're a Democrat, you can use it in any way, shape, or form that you like.
Yeah.
Even to spy on your opposition when it comes to campaigning.
Yeah. Now, as for the ratings, when last Thursday's extravaganza came out, on Friday, some of the overnight ratings came in, and the numbers said somewhere between 18 and 20 million people watched it, which was about the same as a Sunday night football game. But that covered all three broadcast TV networks. Well, four if you count Fox.
No, but Fox didn't broadcast it.
Fox News did not. Fox Business did. NPR did.
Yeah.
And then a couple of other, you know, streaming and online services did as well. So overall, it was about 20 million people viewed it. And as the night went on, those numbers got slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. I would love to see a breakout, 15 minutes at a time, because they can do that. You know, they actually can tell as people kind of drift away from something they don't enjoy. Usually every commercial break, you get a little step down, a little drop off. But that was the introduction. That was the first of what they wanted to be many to come. I doubt there's going to be another prime time edition of this, because what they are throwing out there is just accusations. They're not throwing out evidence. They're saying, we think Trump cheated.
They have no evidence because he didn't cheat.
I agree.
So, you know, it's just a shell game. It's just it's typical, disgusting Democrat strategy.
And kind of reflection, because what the Democrats are real good at is accusing the Republicans of doing what the Democrats themselves are actually doing.
Exactly.
Very interesting. Couple of primaries yesterday. South Carolina gubernatorial race is going to feature Democrat Joe Cunningham and incumbent Harry McMaster. Henry McMaster is a Trump endorsee, and he's got an 80% approval rating from Republican voters. So that might be a race that goes the Republicans' way in November.
Nice.
Nevada is supposed to be a key battleground state, and former Nevada Attorney General Adam Laxalt has won the state's Republican Senate primary. You may know the name Laxalt if you remember politics from the 80s. His grandfather, Paul Laxalt, was the governor of Nevada for a couple of years in the late 60s and was a longtime senator from 74 to 87. He was a senator representing Nevada, and now his grandson is trying to go from AG to senator. Also, Katrina Christensen, a political newcomer, defeated a largely unknown challenger in the Democratic primary in Nevada. He was Fargo art and antiques dealer Michael Steele. I remember Michael Steele. Nah, it can't be the same Michael Steele. Not the same one who used to be the RNC chairman. He wouldn't be running as a Democrat.
Hopefully not.
You would think not. In North Dakota, U.S. Senator John Hoeven easily won the primary there. He's set to face a Democrat in November who has raised only a fraction of his $3.2 million in campaign funds. So Hoeven is probably going to end up being the next senator from North Dakota, very highly conservative state. He's going for a third term. He won both of his previous Senate terms with more than 76% of the vote. Also, Tim Scott won the South Carolina Senate primary. He ran unopposed, so good for him. New York Democrat Jamal Bowman. You know him? He's kind of part of the Squad 2.0.
Oh, yes.
He's
this is
one of the George Soros endorsed or funded or secretly funded candidates who is incredibly progressive. And he says if the Republicans take back power in the November midterm elections, there's going to be a civil war. Well, here's the twist. He's not saying the Democrats are going to engage in a civil war. He's saying the Republicans are going to wage a civil war against all the good things the Democrats have done to date.
Name one.
Well, everything. Everything Biden's proposed, everything Biden's done is going to come undone.
Yes, but name one of the good things the Democrats have done to date.
Good is a very funny term. Very subjective. It means what you want it to mean. Uh-huh. And Jamal Bowman says, nope, it's going to be war. It's going to be a civil war. How about this one? Washington Post writes, even as an increasing share of Americans report familiarity with and tolerance for transgender people, most oppose allowing transgender female athletes to compete against other women at the professional, college, and high school level. That's a Washington Post University of Maryland poll. Fear the turtle. The poll was conducted May 4th through 17th. Wow, that's over a month ago. It polled 1,503 people across the U.S., found 55% of Americans are opposed to allowing transgender women and girls to compete with other women and girls in high school sports. 58% say they're against it for college and professional sports.
And almost every married couple that has a daughter will also agree.
Absolutely. Especially a daughter who is counting on an athletic scholarship to at least help pay the bills for their college. Also in that same poll, 68% of the respondents said that transgender girls, they believe, would have a competitive advantage over biological girls in sports. Kind of makes sense, don't you think?
Yeah.
Hey, have you heard about what Gina Carano is doing?
Pray tell.
Do you know who Gina Carano is?
She is the daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Carano.
Very good. She also was Cara Dune, a character in the first season of Disney's The Mandalorian.
Ah.
But she had some very offensive, i.e. conservative, things to say in public on Twitter right after that series dropped, the first season's worth of episodes, and they wrote her out of the script. Disney decided, we don't need this character. We're going to move on to other characters. She was on the verge of getting a backstory series all about her. And they decided, you know what? We'll move on without her. Well, she is back. She has made her return to entertainment in a new feature film. It is called Terror on the Prairie. It is on the platform that's been getting a lot of recognition lately. The thing you know that it's had on it for the last week or so is What is a Woman? Remember Matt Walsh's documentary?
Well, I guess it's got to do as well with that Supreme Court nominee.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Bless her heart. You know, I'm did you very see Southern, aren't I?
You are. Did you see any of What is a Woman?
No.
It is amazing. They talked to almost an hour and a half. They talked to all kinds of people and very rarely got any kind of an answer that came close to What is a Woman. But What is a Woman? Gina Carano is a woman. And you're going to get to see her kick some butt in this film, Terror on the Prairie, at the Daily Wire platform.
Okay.
So you can become a member. I'm not encouraging that because they're not part of our Salem Network group. But you know what? Something worth checking out, mm-hmm. seeing if it's something you like. I see the numbers turning red. And you know what that means? When the numbers turn red,
we're
you automatically say, yeah, it's time for a break. So when we come back, got a couple of more stories. You can give us a call. Please chime in and say hi. 407-774-8255. Nostra Dennis and Aubrey Kahn in for Carl Jackson on The Carl Jackson Show on a Wednesday night. Hope you are doing well.
Still clinging to your Bible and guns? Good. It's The Carl Jackson Show.
AM 950 and FM 94.9. The Answer.
It is The Carl Jackson Show. I am Nostra Dennis. That over there, that's Aubrey Kahn. We are in for Carl. We got 11 minutes left. So if you want to be part of that amazing 11 minutes, give us a call, 407-774-8255. That number again, 407-774-TALK. Let's talk a little bit about Ben & Jerry's. Do you like Ben & Jerry's ice cream, Aubrey?
No.
You don't?
I don't eat.
Have you tried it?
Yeah.
And it just doesn't...
Tastes too political.
Yeah, that's true. They are very political in what they do. And the two guys, the actual Ben and Jerry, who founded the company, were both very, very leftist. They have since sold the company off to a conglomerate. I don't even know
that
which
is
one.
Just as leftist.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if it's General Mills or Nabisco or whatever it is. But the Ben and Jerry company has decided that new employees are going to have to, as part of their orientation, watch video lectures featuring Palestinian activists talking about the Jewish state and not talking in glowing terms about the Jewish state.
No, of course not.
The videos are part of what the ice cream company dubs Scooper Series, Social Mission. They address racism in the U.S. and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, according to an employee who has viewed the videos. In a portion of one of the videos, Omar Shakir, who serves as Human Rights Watch, is Israel and Palestine director, attempts to explain Israel's policies vis-a-vis the Palestinians. He says in the video, if you look at the recent escalation that took place in May of 2021, it started over discriminatory efforts to force Palestinians out of their homes in occupied eastern Jerusalem as part of this larger policy. Ben & Jerry's needs to do what Walt Disney Company needs to do.
Research.
And what Starbucks needs to do.
Research.
And what most corporations need to do.
Research.
Just do your business. There's no need to jump on the woke bandwagon.
And there's no need to listen to all the lies and BS.
And you know what? There's also no need to jump on the anti-woke bandwagon. There's no need to take a stand politically, even though you feel you might want to. You know, Coca-Cola did that.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted, Coke wanted us to be woke.
And?
They wanted us to be less white. And in fact, you know, they decided to change the packaging of their Coke Zero Sugar. So now it's all red and black. There's no white at all.
Yep.
But they figured out, after losing about 16% of their sales in the first quarter, hey, let's shut up and not do anything. Let's just back
wisdom.
Off of this. And they're slowly getting that number back to the numbers mm-hmm. they were. Disney decided they were going to talk about Governor DeSantis and how awful it was that he was being discriminatory against the LGBTQ plus AZQXY community in a bill that said nothing at all about not saying gay. I call it the "We Never Said Don't Say Gay" bill. These companies really have to figure out that in order to keep on making profits, they need to appeal to consumers, regardless of their political affiliation. Yeah. Aubrey, you've been a businessman.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever tell a potential customer, you're a liberal, so I don't want to work with you?
Oh, no, I just take their money and do the job.
That's right. You do the job, you do it to the best of your ability, and you let things go at that. If you find out that they share your political views, that's wonderful. That makes for nice conversation, but it has no impact on the business you transact.
Correct.
And these companies had just better watch it. In fact, I thought this was funny. You know, over at Epcot at Disney, they have a thing called the Garden Rocks Concert Series, where they bring back groups from the old days, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, yeah. the 90s, and they come back out. And,
when music was music.
Yeah, and they sing some of their songs, and they've had a lot of great bands over there over the summer. Tony Orlando came down.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, he was great.
Oh, my goodness.
Who else? Don McLean, American Pie.
Mm.
Boy, he was something. But they brought out, or they're bringing out the group War. Do you remember War? Why can't we be friends? There is a song of War's. It's called Summertime. 'Cause it's summer. Summertime is here. Is this ringing with you at all?
Yeah.
I was looking at the lyrics
of
the song.
I'm glad you sing better than Mike back there.
Not much better. I sing solo. Solo. You want to turn me off. Let me read these lyrics from War, who will be performing at Disney World.
Woohoo.
Stretched out on a blanket in the sand. Kids of all ages digging Disneyland. Whoa, let's look at that for a second. I know it's Disneyland, not Disney World, but...
It's California.
Kids of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
What did Disney decide not to include in their announcements?
Children.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages.
Mm.
No, instead it's, hello, fellow dreamers. I wonder if they're going to make War change their lyrics to... Fellow dreamers digging Disneyland. I'll put that on the side and see if that one works.
It's okay. Sad. It really is.
Have you heard what Starbucks is doing? You know that there's a big push for Starbucks individual franchises around the state and around the nation to unionize their baristas.
Yes, but... And Starbucks doesn't like that.
No, they don't. And in fact, their actual take on this kind of makes sense. They say, well, we think that if there is a union, it may stand in the way of a relationship between us and our employees.
Yes.
But now they're saying to its baristas, in an attempt to try to get them to back off trying to unionize, unionizing could jeopardize the gender-affirming health care coverage for transgender employees that the company offers.
It's just a threat.
It's a threat, but it's a complaint that was filed with the Federal Labor Board by some baristas who thought that that was coercion. The complaint comes after more than 100 of the coffee chain's 9,000 cafes have voted to unionize. That is about 1.5% of the Starbucks's unionizing under Workers United in the last 7 months. Under the interim CEO Howard Schultz, Starbucks have been trying to counter the union push by emphasizing the shortcomings of collective bargaining. So this is one of these issues where, as a conservative, I don't know which side to root for. My instinct says don't root for Starbucks, but...
No, and don't you... Well, but then...
But they're fighting socialist unions.
But, yeah, but I don't support Starbucks either. Because number one, their politics, and number two, their coffee sucks. I don't like their coffee at all. Beans are over-roasted and they're burnt.
Very bitter. You know what tasted good? The coffee that I got from a guy who did an inspection in my home.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, this Firm Foundation coffee, man, I don't know where you can get it anymore.
I can tell you.
Off the air.
Yes.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay, beyond transgender surgery, Starbucks also reacted to the Supreme Court's leaked majority opinion over the Roe versus Wade potential overturn. They have decided they're going to offer employees and their dependents reimbursements if they have to travel over 100 miles from the employee's home to get an abortion. Isn't that a nice thing to do?
Oh, their generosity is only exceeded by their
bitter coffee. The company also reaffirmed its offerings of paid leave for adoption, surrogacy, and fertility treatments, as well as free mental health and counseling sessions. Well, that's a good thing.
I think the board needs to go on that.
Yeah. Okay, last one we got here, only a couple minutes left. Young Americans have decided that post-COVID, saving money is really not something that's a priority for them because of a lot of things. Young investors are behind on their retirement savings, according to the Daily Wire, as economic fallout continued from COVID-19 and the lockdown-induced recession. Overall, only one out of four respondents are now less confident than they were before the events of the past 2 years. Even though 79% of them are still confident they can retire when and how they want. I don't know how they come to that conclusion.
Because the state will look after them.
Okay.
The federal government will give them handouts.
If you say so. 55% of next gen, those are the people between the ages of 18 and 35, and so that would encompass both of my daughters. They say that they placed their retirement plans on hold during COVID-19. You know that if you put money into a 401k, it's like giving yourself a 4, 5, 6% raise, depending on how your company matches.
Right.
But 45% of the people surveyed say they don't see a point in saving until things return to normal.
Yeah. What is normal?
Well, that's the thing. Normal gets a little normaler every day, but it doesn't get normaler enough quick enough. So I don't know. If I were in that next gen, I would really want to rethink my plan about saving or not saving money.
But you see, this again can be laid at the feet of the parents.
Absolutely.
You know, unfortunately, today's people today, they go and they spend everything and they run up the credit card and they go into debt.
Well, they're just following the lead of our federal government.
That's
who's
right.
Been doing that for decades.
Exactly.
And we don't need to run over because, if we do, we're going to run right into the next show here. AM 950, 94.9.
Well, might be better answer. Than the next show. Who knows?
Hey now. For Aubrey Khan, for Carl Jackson, who will be back on Monday. I am Nostradamus. Thank you all for listening. And stay tuned to AM 950, 94.9 FM.
And don't grow weary of doing good. Good night.
Night.